بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. May Allah give us tawfiq to value the sacrifices of the greatest of people, the best of people, those chosen for the guidance of humanity. Their lives are so exemplary, every one of them. In them being mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, seniors, elders, young, in every aspect of their life, we deduce benefits. We deduce inspiration. We are inspired, enlightened, elated by just being affiliated to them. Allahu Akbar. So selfless that everything of theirs were given for humanity to be guided to the truth, for humanity to come out of destruction, impediment, for humanity to come out of waywardness, and for humanity to find the truth and the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn about a mother, Ya Allah, her speciality, a mother of seven Badri Sahaba. Seven Badri Sahaba. Imagine her children, seven sons, Allah chose them to be veterans and participants of the glorious day of Furqan, Yawmul Furqan, the day of Badr, where the Sahaba amounted 313. Seven of these lions of Allah, lions of the hereafter, true people were, and true veterans, seven of them were none other than her children. Radiallahu anha wa anhun. What a mother, what a mother. Her children are known as Banu Afra, the children of Afra, the sons of Afra. Radiallahu anha. But Allah forgive us, really we have fallen short in learning about these great people. And even in naming our children, naming our daughters after her, we don't even know how to pronounce her name correctly. How beloved is she to Allah, that taking her name with respect, Allahu Akbar, can inspire us to become better people, yes, and could become the means of our Jannah, our salvation, our children's salvation, our children's success. She is none other than Hazrat Afra radiyallahu anha. Ayn fa ra, alif and hamza. Afra radiyallahu anha. So her children were Hazrat Mu'adh, Mu'awwadh and Awf. Bani al-Harith ibn Rifa'ah. Their father's name was Harith bin Rifa'ah. These three children were born from her first husband, who then passed away. And then she married, she wedded a man by the name of Bukayr. Bukayr bin Abd Yalil al-Laythi. And from that wedlock, so Harith was from Medina Munawwara, and then Bukayr was from Makkah Mukarramah. She wedded Bukayr, and in that union Allah blessed her with four children. Hazrat Khalid, Iyas, Aqil and Amir radiyallahu anhum. So three of her sons were from the Ansar, and four were from the Muhajireen. They all are Banu Al-Afra. Now just to get to know her sisters, Hazrat Afra radiallahu anha's sisters from the same mother, famously Ja'da bint Ubaid radiallahu anha. Ja'da was the sister of Hazrat Afra radiallahu anha. And Hazrat Ja'da is the mother of the famous Sahabi Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu. This Sahabi was known for his loyalty and kindness and compassion towards his mother. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was in Jannah and I heard the voice and the tilawa of Haritha bin Nu'man radiyallahu anhu. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is due to his compassion, kindness and care and love for his mother radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. He was famous to actually present his properties. He was well to do. He had quite a few properties, houses in Medina Munawwara, and he would love to place his wealth in the service of Allah's deen. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina Munawwara, he resided in the home of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. But his conveyance stayed, because Hazrat Haritha also wanted the blessings. So he felt sad that he didn't have the opportunity to have and host Allah's Nabi in his home. But he kept the camel of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his home and found barakat in that. And even when Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha wanted to move near Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his house was right next to the house of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He offered That Hazrat Fatima lived right next to Allah's beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his home, and he would move away into Fatima radiallahu anha's home. This is the kindness of Hazrat Haritha bin Nu'man. And he insisted when Allah's Nabi refused. And he said, O Nabi of Allah, it's all yours sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Afra radiallahu anha's other sister was Khawla bint Ubaid radiallahu anha. And her son was famously Muawiyah bin Samit Khazraji. And Hazrat Khawla also embraced Islam and took bay'ah at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these three sisters were known as very, very virtuous mothers that achieved greatly in Allah's pleasure and nurtured great men to serve Allah's deen. And this is what it is, respected lovers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We learn from the Sahabiyat that they train their children to please Allah, to uplift Allah's name, to take Allah's name, to spread and disseminate Allah's kalam and Allah's words, and to give their life for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Back to her children. So her children, Mu'adh bin Afra and Mu'awwadh, they were actually amongst the 73 Sahaba. Auf, Mu'adh and Mu'awwadh were amongst the 73 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They were amongst the 73 Sahaba radiallahu anhum who met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam just before the Hijrah, the 13th year of Dhul Hijjah. They came to meet Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And indeed her son Mu'adh bin Afra was among the first of the Ansar to embrace Islam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat them in the ta'aleem and taught him Surah Yusuf and Surah Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So it was himself and Hazrat Rafi' bin Malik Najjari radiallahu anhum. So historians mention that among the first of the Khazraj to embrace Islam was Hazrat Mu'adh bin Afra radiallahu anhum, as well as his brothers Auf and Mu'awwadh were also among the early, but Hazrat Mu'adh was among the earliest radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And her children who were Muhajirin, Iyas, Khalid, Bukair, Amir, were among the first to take bay'ah at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Meccan stage. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam established the madrasa in Darul Arqam, the first to take bay'ah at his hands were these four young men, Hazrat Khalid, Iyas, Aqil, Amir. It's reported that Aqil's name was Ghafil, and Ghafil means someone who's slower and negligent. Allah's Nabi changed his name because the importance of having a good meaning, a suitable meaning, an encouraging meaning in one's name. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named him Aqil radiallahu anhum. Something else interesting about these brothers was the fact that when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina Munawwara, he left Makkah Mukarrama on the first of Rabi'ul Awwal. It was a Monday. He traveled the entire week. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's arrival in Medina Munawwara was first in Quba, and that was on a Monday. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resided in Quba by the home of Hazrat Kulthum bin Hidim radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Kulthum bin Hidim radiallahu anhu's home is still available in Medina Munawwara for viewing the farm he had and so forth. Allah blessed his lands because of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's residence there. He embraced Islam just before Allah's Nabi's arrival in Medina Munawwara. He was very elderly, of very advanced age. But he was so fortunate that Allah's Nabi chose him to stay with for 4 days. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed there. There's an interesting incident that happened whilst they were there, where Hazrat Kulthum, elderly, he was calling his slave Najih, Ya Najih. And Allah's Nabi said to Abu Bakr, see, Anjahta ya Abu Bakrin, you have triumphed and succeeded. Meaning Allah has granted you success. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took positivity in everything. As Muslims we learn never to be negative people. Never be people who are looking for evil omens and bad omens. A person is going somewhere, he sees an owl or sees a cat or sees something. No, as Muslims we take Allah's help and we remain positive and we carry on. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was departing from Makkah Mukarrama. He was emotional because at one point he saw the Kaaba and he yearned. Oh, he was actually at one road leading to Makkah and he cried and missed Makkah. And he said, Oh Makkah, you are so beloved to me. You are so beloved to me. And if it wasn't for this that we are forced to leave you, we would not have gone anywhere else. So we learn from there. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to leave Makkah Mukarramah even though it was so beloved to him. And yes, Allah Ta'ala returned him to Makkah Mukarramah and granted Makkah Mukarramah to his beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But see the sacrifice. Our ulama say that Makkah Mukarramah could be sacrificed at that time, but iman can never be forsaken, and da'wat to iman can never be forsaken. At that time also Allah's Nabi made this dua, وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ الصِّدْقِ. Oh Allah, give us a pure, sincere, wonderful entry into Medina. وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ الصِّدْقِ. And take us out from here nicely. So Allah's Nabi was looking forward always. He first made dua regarding his entry into Medina, and then the dua also mentioned his exit from Makkah Mukarramah. So as believers, we never become bogged or never look back and never stop making effort and always remain positive. It's reported that not far from Hazrat Kulthum radiallahu anhu's home was Hazrat Sa'd bin Khaythama radiallahu anhu's home. Very interesting sahabi radiallahu anhu. When it came to Uhud, it was Hazrat Sa'd and Khaythama who were arguing, father and son were arguing who's going to participate, because one had to participate and the other had to take care of the entire family. And both, father is saying, son, you have to listen to me and allow me the opportunity to go. And the son is saying, you know, I'll prefer you in regards everything, father, except in regards to Jannah. This is Jannah, this is striving in Allah's way with Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will not prefer you in this regard. They casted lots, Allah blessed the son with acceptance and he went in Allah Ta'ala's way. Anyway, so Hazrat Sa'd bin Khaythama radiallahu anhu was the host of the other Sahaba arriving at the same time. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lectures would be held at Hazrat Sa'd bin Khaythama radiallahu anhu's home during those days of Quba. So the 4 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, those 4 days from the 8th right till the 12th, which was the Friday when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from there and entered the home of Hazrat and entered Medina Munawwara. As Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was entering Medina Munawwara, Allahu Akbar, what a khutbah he rendered. What a khutbah he rendered, subhanallah. Let's analyze these words of his khutbah. One is the khutbah of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his first khutbah on the mountain Safa in Makkah Mukarramah. That khutbah is also very interesting. The advisors there, when Allah's Nabi announced, Ya Sabaha. And this was a famous slogan or announcement that was made during the Meccan stage by the Arabs when they would announce regarding something very, very important. What it literally means is, oh, there's something happening by morning. But what this means in Arabic rhetoric and balagha, Arabic eloquence, this means is something very, very important has to be mentioned to you. It's as important as an army arriving by morning. So it means very, very important information. This was the Meccan slogan. So when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed on the mountain, he utilized the same words that was used by the Meccan people to gather everyone. What they would also do is, if some information was so important, they would actually strip themselves naked to draw full and complete attention and then call these words, Ya Sabaha, and then make their announcements. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just said, Ya Sabaha, and he never removed his clothes. So what we learn from here, what others do, we cannot do. Unless what is done is allowed in Sharia, like Ya Sabaha is not contrary to Sharia. So what is halal as a means of inviting to Allah, we can use. But what is haram is impermissible for us to use. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to everyone after they had gathered that you can see me from the top of the mountain and I can see both sides. I can see ahead of me and I can see behind me because I am in the top of the mountain. They said yes. So Allah's Nabi said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them that you cannot see this side of the mountain, but if I were to notify you that on this side there's an army charging towards you to eradicate you, would you believe me? They said, you are the most trustworthy, the most honest. Obviously we'll believe you. Allah's Nabi then said, in the same way, like how warned and how cautioned would you be when an army were to arrive to eradicate and attack you, in the same way there's an afterlife, the hereafter, that is coming rapidly, that is coming stealthily, that is coming swiftly, and I implore you all to prepare for this afterlife. And then Allah's Nabi mentioned these words, كَمَا تَحْيَوْنَ تَمُوتُونَ. Like you live this world, that's exactly how you are going to die. وَكَمَا تَمُوتُونَ تُبْعَثُونَ. As you live, that's how you will die. And as you die, that's how you will be resurrected. Allahu Akbar. To analyze these words in simple terms, the hadith is actually saying that Allah is so merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's even allowing us to choose the way we want to die. As you live, what you do every day, what drives you, what's your goal, what's your purpose. Allah will make it that the day you leave this world, you would be occupied and involved in the same thing. Meaning, somebody who leaves this world reciting the Qur'an Kareem, or performing his salah, or inviting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or striving in Allah's way, or in his ihram for hajj, or performing tawaf, or doing some charitable work, or helping humanity. It's not that he just did this out of the blue. But this was his way of life. This is what drove him. This is what inspired him and her. My respected listeners, let us choose the way we want to die. Let us live every day as though it's the last day of this worldly life. Like a pious scholar, Abdurrahman bin Abi Nu'man, when they came to him to ask him, because a group of scholars went to different scholars and pious people to ask them, what would you do if you knew that this was the last day of your life in this transitory world and tomorrow you were definitely departing? How would you spend your day? Some said, I would spend my day circulating and circumambulating the Kaaba Sharif. Others said I would be in the tilawa of the Quran the entire day. Others said I would be disseminating the knowledge of Allah's deen. Imagine, the scholar said, I would do what I do every day. When asked, what do you mean? Elaborate, please. He said, I spend every day already as though it's the last day of my life. And this is what we are supposed to do. Allah save us, Allah forgive us. We do not want to leave this world in the dens of vice, in pubs, in clubs, spending time with illicit relations, spending time in defiance and disobedience of Allah. How then would be our outcome and end result? Allah's mercy, Allah's mercy, we can choose the way we want to go. Let's do that every day. Let's please our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that must be our goal and purpose and objective, that our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be happy. That's why Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhum, leaving this world, when his wife cried incessantly, he says, why do you cry? Just be happy with me, for me. She asked, how? He said that I'm now gonna go to my loved ones. Al-yawma alqa al-ahibba Muhammadan wa hizba. Today is the day I will meet my beloveds, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhum. After this khutbah in Medina Munawwara, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued. Banu Salim bin Auf was where the khutbah took place. They continue sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he arrives in Medina Munawwara. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Everyone was grabbing the reins of the camel of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as they were grabbing it, O Nabi of Allah, by us, O Nabi of Allah, by us, O Nabi of Allah, our life will be sacrificed for you. O Nabi of Allah, may our parents be sacrificed for you. O Nabi of Allah, come by us, come by us. And as they were grabbing the reins, Allah's beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, please leave the reins. He saw everyone wanted this honor and wanted this good deed of welcoming and hosting the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine such a pleasure, such a ni'mah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. My respected lovers of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, we must also want to welcome guests in our home, the beloveds of Allah in our home, the deen into our home. Yes, bring deen in our home. That's the greatest guest we can ever have. And bring needy people, poor people, and feed them. Good people, pious people, and every person we must feed for Allah, help for Allah, serve for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, sometimes we have some challenge with our families and so forth. Discuss it together, encourage each other. And if there's still some difficulty, make some other arrangements for the guests of Allah Ta'ala. But really, hospitality is dying out in this ummah. It's coming out of the lives. That when we see new people, we run, Allahu Akbar, as though we saw Malakul Maut coming. That as though some pocket, something from our pocket will be diminished. Or as though our time will be wasted, Allah forgive us. We haven't understood the mizaj of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Life has become very, very selfish. These beautiful morals and qualities have to be brought alive in us again, to love people, be kind to people, share with people, help people, assist people, leave a legacy in this world. Because that is everlasting, is baqi, is everlasting. Everything else will perish. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, leave the reins, Allah will choose. Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't want anybody's heart to be hurt, and everyone stood aside, hoping, praying, begging Allah to give them this opportunity. Allah loves that talab, that desire to be accepted for Allah's deen, to be used for Allah's deen. And as the camel carried on,
as it would pass a family. Imagine the scene on entry into Medina Munawwara, Sahaba on each side, and as the camel would come near, they would be hoping that Allah's Nabi's camel would halt before their property and home. And as the camel would depart from or pass them, they would feel sad for themselves, but feel happy for the next person, that let's see who's the lucky one, who will receive something so special, so special. Wallah, the lottery is nothing, because it is haram. There's no value in it. Whatever is earned through haram will be spent in something despicable, will be wasted. Any haram wealth doesn't last. There's no barakat in it. Easy come, easy go. But that little that has barakat is valuable, is everlasting. Duqayn rahimahullah says, when I met Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, and he said he'll do me a favor, he'll help me, he called me closer. He told me, I said to you, I'll help you when I was in Medina Munawwara, I was the governor. Now Allah made me the Khalifa. And the truth is, I have nothing. Imagine he's the Khalifa, the ruler of the Muslim world. Analyze his life. He says, all I have is 1,000 dirham. But what I'll do, half of that, I gift it to you. He gives him 500 dirhams. He says, as far as value, it seems little, but there was so much of barakat in that 500 dirhams from Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah. And the camel departs, and it moves forward until it reaches, Allahu Akbar, the property of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The camel kneels down and halts, sitting on the property. It was an empty property. It was a land used to dry dates and raisins. The camel halted there. Masjid. Masjid to masjid. The life of a believer is masjid. Allah enable us all to return to masjid. Then the camel gets up and comes right in front of the home of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. Yes, Hazrat Khalid bin Zayd bin Kulayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What a great sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. How Allah chose him, and his dua was always to be hospitable, to host Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What khidmah he made of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Interestingly, meals were presented to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after some time as they arrived and so forth. Hazrat Haritha bin Nu'man took the conveyance of Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the first sahabi, this is something interesting to learn, the first sahabi to present meals to Allah's beloved, and then meals came from everywhere, was none other than Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. He was an orphan child, but his mother prepared meals, and he rushed to present it to the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah's Nabi partook sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The arrival of the camel and its halting on the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After some time, Allah's beloved found out. He found out information as to whose property is this. Subhanallah, whose property was it? It was the property belonging to two orphan young men, orphan children, none other than Hazrat Sahal and Suhail radiallahu anhuma. Sahal and Suhail, the sons of Rafi' radiallahu anhuma, two great sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were young men, they owned that property. And interestingly, these orphan children were under the care and supervision of two sahaba. One is our hero here, and our hero's son, Hazrat Mu'adh bin Afra. He was caring for these orphan children. The other being Hazrat As'ad bin Zurara radiallahu anhu, who passed away during this time. He passed away in the early Medinan stage. The first of the sahaba to pass away from the sahaba of Medina Munawwara, the Ansar, was Hazrat As'ad bin Zurara radiallahu anhu. And the first of the muhajirin to pass away in Medina Munawwara was Hazrat Uthman bin Mal'un radiallahu anhu. Anyway, they were in the care of Hazrat Mu'adh bin Afra. Allahu Akbar. What a quality to care for children who are orphaned. Allahu Akbar. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ بَيْتِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The best home of the believers is that home wherein فِيهِ يَتِيمٌ يُحْسَنُ إِلَيْهِ, where orphan child is being cared for and loved and respected and treated with compassion and mercy. And Allah's beloved said, the worst of homes of the believers is that wherein a yateem is being ill-treated. Allah says, يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمُ دَعَّ يَدُعُ. He pushes the orphan around. Anything he got, just sends the orphan. Pushes him this way, pushes him that way. He got no father, nobody to care for him. Allah, forgive us. That is the child we have to show love for, more love for. There was one alim in Medina Munawwara, Allahu Akbar, years ago, when, because every 5 years, when the graves, the graveyard obviously is less. So every 5 years they have to exhume the graves and push aside the bones and bury another deceased, another janaza. But after 5 years, when they exhume and excavate and they find a body intact, they actually close the grave again. And it happened that this alim, 3 years consecutively, meaning after 5 years and 10 years and 15 years, his body was totally intact. And his son saw this, so they didn't seal the grave and never opened it again. After 15 years also, the body was totally intact. When they asked his children, how come? What happened? What blessed your father with this quality? He says, nothing special. What could it be? And when he analyzed, he says he would care for the orphan children to such an extent that he said to his own children, don't call me father or abi, because when we are dealing with the orphans, they'll feel bad that we don't have abi and father. Call me Molana. Like all the children call me Molana, y'all also call me Molana. And he treated the orphan children even better than his own. So Hazrat Mu'adh bin Afra was caring for these children, Sahal and Suhail, radiallahu anhumah. These young men were insisting, O Nabi of Allah, accept our property for the structure of Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu Akbar. Allah's beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, refused. Allah's Nabi says, no, we'll never take this property for free. We'll have to pay for it. Even though they wanted to contribute it, but wisdom, Allahu Akbar, to teach the Ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah, as we complete this discussion, we will discuss further the life of Hazrat Afra radiallahu anha and her children who were lions of Allah, a speciality being a mother of 7 Badri Sahaba radiallahu anhum. From them came Shuhada and her patience and tolerance. We will go into that discussion, the legacy she left behind. But importantly at this moment, let's remember an individual, Allahu Akbar, someone known as a Mukhadram. One is Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, then Sahabi student is Tabi'i. Then that individual who lived in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but didn't actually have the opportunity to meet Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but embraced Islam just after, is known as Mukhadram. Now this individual, actually Allah used to take Islam, Allah used to take Deen into the lands of Afghanistan. Allahu Akbar. He was a young man. He came from Yamama. The report says that Sahaba brought Islam to this region. And as the Sahaba were giving Dawat, inviting to Allah Ta'ala, people were reluctant. People were refusing to embrace. But among them was one individual. He said to the people, oh my people, why do you become reluctant at this wonderful message? These people have come with wise words. وَإِنَّهُ يَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى مَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. His every word is nobility and character. And he advocates goodness and discourages us from evil, blameworthy qualities. Everything he has said is true and correct. Respond to the inviter to guidance, and then you would acquire the success of this world and the next. فَأَجِيبُوا دَاعِيَ الْهُدَىٰ تَفُوزُوا بِخَيْرَي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes people are reluctant, but Allah uses some. Allah uses somebody to become a means of encouragement to others. Imagine Allah Ta'ala can use us for other people's hidayat. Yes, Allah is the giver of hidayat, but we have to beg Allah Ta'ala to make us the means, because certainly Allah Ta'ala doesn't need us. Humanity is thirsty, humanity is waiting. This individual who Allah used, through whom hidayat spread in this region, he was a young man. He was none other than Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais rahimahullah. Anyway, a delegation was prepared and they go to Medina Munawwara to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was towards the end of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time in this transitory world. This individual, Ahnaf bin Qais rahimahullah, says, years later, I was invigilating the Kaaba, circumambulating, performing tawaf, and a man approaches me and he says to me, you know me? I said, yes, I know you. He says, remember when we came to your area and I invited the people to Allah and they were first reluctant and you encouraged them? Yes, I do remember that. And everyone then readily embraced Islam.
He said, I must tell you, I returned to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I presented the entire car guzari to him and he became so happy. Allah's Nabi gave you du'as. When I presented the car guzari to him, I told him exactly how you became the means of the people's hidayat. Allah's Nabi said, Allahumma ghfir lil ahnaf. Oh Allah, you forgive ahnaf. He became the means of the hidayat of his people. Imagine, Allahu Akbar, what a way to win Allah's Nabi's du'as. What a way to win success. Allahu Akbar. There's nothing that pleases Allah Ta'ala more and brings more joy to the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than sharing this beautiful deen. And in turn, this individual, and Allah give us tawfiq to discuss further, this same individual was the means of the hidayat of Islam and deen reaching the lands of Afghanistan, where our brothers are striving and sacrificing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them.
Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make certain du'as, teaching us every morning, teaching us to turn to Allah right from the initial stages of the morning, from the time our eyes awaken, from the time Allah Ta'ala allows us to live again. We have to thank Allah and attribute to Him and remember Him. The one, Alhamdulillah, الذي أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه النشور. All praise is due to Allah, who has given us life after death, which refers to sleep. Sleep is the sister of death. Because when one sleeps, the soul departs from the body, just like what happens when one dies. أَحْيَانَا بَعْدَمَا أَمَاتَنَا وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. And to Him alone, إِلَيْهِ, to Allah alone, is the resurrection. Meaning we're going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day. This other hadith states, Allah's Nabi's dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Alhamdulillah alladhi radda ilayya ruhi. All praise is due to Allah. Allah who has returned my ruh to me. Meaning my ruh departed from my body when I was asleep. Radda ilayya ruhi. Allah who has returned my ruh to me. Wa'afani fi jasadi. And Allah who has given me and granted me afia in my body. That my body is intact. My body is functional. My body is working. My limbs are functional. وَعَافَانِي فِي جَسَدِي. So we're thanking Allah for these bounties. That one is to awaken, which is a bounty of Allah. The other is a person's limbs are functional. Such a ni'mah and a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah's Nabi taught us, وَأَذِنَ لِي بِذِكْرِهِ. Thank Allah. Oh Allah, I thank you for the fact that you are allowing me to take your name. Allahu Akbar. We are so weak. We are so full of sin, so full of shortcomings. But Allah is allowing us to take His name. Allahu Akbar. We are totally indebted to Allah for all these bounties. وَأَذِنَ لِي بِذِكْرِهِ. Because let's remember, let's ponder, let's introspect. What do we come from? What is our origin? What's our starting point? How were we nothing? And Allah made us into existence. Allah has made us something. Allah reminds us of this in the Quran on numerous occasions. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حَيْنٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. What's our origin? What's the liquid that we come from? How can we become proud and arrogant because of our origin? Allahu Akbar. What makes us valuable is when we bring deen into us. When we bring Allah's love into us. When we bring Allah's Nabi Sunnah into us. When we inculcate this in our lives and disseminate it to others and make an effort to share it with others, this is what brings our value. فَأَنْتَ إِنْهَضْ إِلَى الرُّوحِ وَاسْتَكْمِلْ فَضَائِلَهَا. The friend of Allah says, aspire to perfect and complete the qualities of the soul. فَأَنْتَ بِالرُّوحِ لَا بِالْجِسْمِ إِنْسَانُ. Because certainly, you become insan just not just through the body, because that the animal kingdoms share with us as well. فَأَنْتَ بِالرُّوحِ. What makes man special is his ruh. فَأَنْتَ بِالرُّوحِ لَا بِالْجِسْمِ إِنْسَانُ. So we're thanking Allah. وَأَذِنَ لِي بِذِكْرِهِ. Allah, you're allowing me to take your name. And then وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. And how valuable it is to take Allah's name, the most beautiful name, the most
beloved name, the purest of names, the greatest of names, such a name that no creation ever had or has or will have, that name that our heart is in need of, that name that our soul is yearning for, that name that we need for all the time. Allah instructs us in the Quran-e-Kareem to take His name, وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ. And Allah tells us that all the creation of Allah taking His name, everything to exist takes Allah's name. Even the leaf on the trees, the leaves on the trees to sustain take Allah's name. All the creation of Allah to utter Allah's name, subhanallah wa bihamdi. So we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. And Allah's name is so sweet. Allahu ya a'zabal alfazi fi lughati wa ya ajalla hurufin fi ma'aniha. Allahu ya a'zabal alfazi kam sa'idat nafsi wa fada sururi hina arwiha. Allahu Akbar. He says, Allah's name, how sweet, the sweetest of words. A'zabal alfaz. He says, you can never ever find words or a word sweeter than Allah's name. He said, how happy do I become? How happy do I become when I just utter the name of Allah? So daily we have to take Allah's name all the time, from the morning to the evening. Sahaba radiallahu anhum would climb a hill, Allahu Akbar they would recite. He would go downhill, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Allah's beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be in Allah's remembrance all the time. Fi kulli ahyani. So we should also be taking Allah's name. And Allah's, we should be extolling the praises of our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we thank Allah for allowing us, enabling us with the tawfiq and the ability to take His name. So we learn from here that even that much is not in our own capacity. On our own, we'll never be able to even take the name of Allah. So when we do take His name, it is due to Him alone, and we have to appreciate Him. There's an amazing hadith in the riwayah of Bayhaqi, where a man worshipped Allah for 500 years. The chain of this report is fine. A man worshipped Allah for 500 years, and Allah allowed him because he begged Allah, because of his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, when I leave this world, I don't want to just go like that. I want to pass away in sajda. Allah blessed him with that ability as well. So worshipping Allah so long, he lived on an island, land surrounded by salty water. Allah blessed him with a spring that gushed forth from a rock. So sweet water was arranged for him, and a pomegranate tree would grow for him daily, one pomegranate, so his meals were arranged, and his time was spent in the ibadah of Allah. When Allah gives us tawfiq to take our time for Him, Allahu Akbar, how Allah loves that. We have to beg Allah for this ability, and we have to exert ourselves. Allah says, O my banda, tafarrag li ibadati, take out time for my ibadah. Amla'u sadraka ghinan, I'll fill your chest with richness, and I will remove the fear of poverty. And if you do not do so, mala'tu yadayka shughlan, I'll fill your hands with 1,000 worries and works and responsibilities, and the fear of poverty will always remain hovering above you. Walam asudd faqrak. So this report says that when he was leaving from this world also, he begged Allah. Oh Allah, I want to leave this world in sajda, and when I stand before you, my Allah, I want to be resurrected from that posture of sajda. And Allah blessed him with that ability as well. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam mentioned this to the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah's Nabi said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that Hazrat Jibreel, my friend, just departed and mentioned to me, on judgment day when this servant of Allah comes, Allah will say to the angels, take my servant to paradise through my mercy. So this servant would so to say question, or a kind of an objection, like a question, that yes, Allah, your mercy, but what about my deeds? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels again, repeatedly, that take him to Jannah through my mercy. And when he asked the third time, Allah says, okay, measure your ibadah, and that is placed on one side of the scale, and the many, many bounties of Allah enlisted there. Allahu Akbar. In array, so many of Allah's bounties, so many of Allah's blessings, countless, countless, continuous bounties of Allah. And one is taken from that list, just the bounty of and the gift of the eye, and placed on the other side of the scale. All his ibadah could not pay for that one ni'mah of Allah. We are totally indebted to Allah. Then Allah says to him, that who gave you the ability to do this? Who enabled you with this bounty of dying in sajda and blessed you with this opportunities to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So really we need to be thankful to Allah, especially who has enabled us to take His name. And then we thank Allah in the morning, وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا. Oh Allah, I thank you that you made me your favorite by making me insan and not making me hayawan. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to value His bounties, to appreciate Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. And Allah help us protect our iman and help us share this iman with humanity. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.